Well, it's lovely to be with you today for your special Children's Day service, and we have to congratulate the boys and girls again. I really enjoy going around our churches and being part of various Children's Day services, but I have to say today I really enjoyed that, especially the story about that great godly man who loved the Lord and in the land of India. That was tremendous, really enjoyed that. And of course, there's never a nerve from the young people nowadays. They seem to be able to get up and just do things, no problem. And I can remember whenever I was a wee boy, having to get up on Children's Day to take part. And we went along to the Sandown Road Church. And if any of you can remember the old Sandown Road Church, it had a huge pulpit there, and there was big open plan steps right up to the top of this huge pulpit. And then they put me on top of a chair on top of the pulpit. And a bit of wonder I was nervous. And we used to have to recite verses of Scripture and sing as well. I can remember one time I was so nervous in the children's meeting, or the Children's Day service, that as we stood up, we had a poem that we had learned, and we were going to recite it. And there was only two verses, and I got the two verses completely mixed up when I saw all these people looking at me. And it was a poem about David killing Goliath. And getting the verses mixed up, I had David cutting the head off Goliath with a sword before he even hit him with a stone. But everybody allowed me to get away with that misuse and interpretation of the Scriptures on that particular occasion. It's lovely to be with you. And, you know, whenever we come along to do a Children's Day service, sometimes we're a bit anxious because we don't want to clash with the program. And I was tempted this morning to do something on the Queen's 70th anniversary, and we didn't go down that route either. We've gone a different direction. I'm very tempted because I'm a big, big fan of the Queen, and I have to let you into a secret, a very sad secret in many ways. For about 45 years, I have been collecting memorabilia, especially pictures of the Queen, and I have literally hundreds and hundreds of them. Don't think you have hundreds of them, brother. And I have hundreds and hundreds of them. And so much so that we get to a stage where we begin to give them out and give them away to people. And with the anniversaries last weekend, somebody very kindly gave me another lovely picture of the Queen to add to my collection. And this particular one I intend to keep. Usually end up giving them away. I'm going to keep this one here. And I've actually brought it with me today to let everybody see it. And there it is there. There's it there. And I'm going to hold on to this one. It's not going anywhere. And I trust that you'll do the same whenever you get yours. Now, I put this away very quickly because if the treasurer sees that, he'll take that cling off me and it'll be gone in no time at all. Now, that's money. And today, believe it or not, boys and girls, I want to speak a little bit about money. But before we go any further, for those of you who have your Bible, we want to read just a few verses from Mark chapter 12. If the wee ones don't have a Bible, don't you worry a thing about it. They're sitting so well, I don't want them even to move. They're sitting brilliantly, sitting really good. We want just to read a few verses from Mark chapter 12, and then we will bring the lesson to you today. Mark chapter 12, just three or four verses, reading from verse number 41. And we break into the passage and we read something remarkable, something quite strange happening in the life of the Savior. Of course, the Savior's life, his ministry was full of busyness, and so many were demanding his attention, and his days were just full from getting up to finishing. And then he even then would spend night seasons in prayer, and he was a busy man. But here we see something strange. We see that the Savior's sitting. He's just sitting. And let's read from verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. We'll just end the reading there at the end of the chapter. And perhaps we could unite our hearts in a little word of prayer. So you boys and girls, we have a drill for you small ones, and it's our ABC of prayer. We've got A for our arms, and we'll get our arms folded. And now this is going to be very hard for the boys because they've got tremendously big muscles, and it's hard to get them arms folded. And then B for heads to be bowed, and then C for eyes to be closed. And if you're really, really small in the meeting, and you close your eyes really, really tight, you can actually see wee stars. All the adults will be trying this in a minute or two. You can see wee stars. And I want you to listen carefully as we pray for the Lord's help today. Dear Lord, we just thank Thee for all that has gone on before with the boys and girls. We think of the season that's gone into eternity, the efforts of the superintendent, the children, the teachers, teaching the children week by week the things of God. And Lord, we look to Thee for that eternal increase. We look to Thee for that of eternal value in the souls of these little ones, that they'll come to Thee early in life, be saved and used of Thee in the days that lie ahead. So, Lord, we just come to Thee now with regards to the word that is before us. And we ask for help from on high. Thou dost know our weakness, our inabilities. But we pray, O Lord, for the power of God and help from Him who is able. And we pray, O God, that Your name will be glorified. For we ask it in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Now, boys and girls, we have here before us, and mums and dads, as I say, a strange part in the Bible where the Lord Jesus is just sitting and He's watching the people. He's really people watching. And this verse ties in beautifully with a line in the Old Testament, because the Lord Jesus is the Son of God, God the Son. And in the Old Testament we read these words, "Thou God seest me." And here we will have evidence of this today, of how God in the person of His Son is all-seeing. And the Savior is sitting and He's just watching people. As I say, He's people watching. Now this is something that both I and my wife love to do of an evening. Sometimes we would get out there in the car and we'd go for a bit of a drive and we would park up, and if we were feeling very in good tune, we'd maybe get a wee ice cream or a wee cup of coffee and we'll just sit and we'll people watch. Now, I used to hate this whenever my mum and dad did it whenever I was small. I was stuck in the back thinking, I want to get out here to play football. I want to go for a bit of run around. I want some money to spend. And they just sat and the people watched. And we have done the same. We've got into that age group now where we just sit and the people watch. Now, if you're ever out and about and you happen to see us in the car doing that, you're too late. We've already seen you and we've talked all about you, and look at the state of that and look at the state of that, and we'll have it all discussed before you get past the car. But the Savior here, He is watching people, and He's not doing it for entertainment. He's not doing it in some social aspect. He's doing it because there's something for Him to teach to His disciples. And we're told the Savior is sitting at the door of the temple. And there at the door, there was a huge box called the treasury. And for those who wanted to support God's work, they would put the money into this huge box. And the Savior was sitting there, and He was watching all those people coming in and out. And the rich and the wealthy, oh, they were making a whole show of what they were putting in. Oh, no doubt impressing others. And then in the reading, we find out about a little widow woman. And boys and girls, I want you just to imagine what she looked like. She wouldn't have had fancy clothes and nice shoes. And she'd been on her own. Husband was dead. Finding life really hard. And she came up alongside. And no doubt she might have had a little purse or a little tiny bag. And she put her hand into that ever so quickly, ever so quietly, not making any show. And she took out two mites. Two little pennies, two really small pennies, not worth hardly anything. You've heard of the old saying, not worth 2D. Well, these little pennies would have been something similar. And she immediately put them into the treasury, and she about turned, and away she went, maybe quickly because of embarrassment. But the Savior saw this, dear lady. There was nothing hidden from Him, nothing even you do, boys and girls, mums and dads, in secret or in haste. will be hidden from God. And you know what? The Lord Jesus gathered his disciples. And he did not so much promote those who had plenty, because they gave of their abundance, and there was no skin of their nose. What they gave, they had plenty. But he marveled at this little woman. And he pointed out to his disciples that she gave her all to God. She gave her all to God. You see that little bag that she was carrying, that little purse? If you had turned it upside down now, nothing would have come out. She had given everything to God. Now, she needed money as much as the next person to eat and to live and to get by, but she gave everything that she had to God's work, and she went away with the bag empty. And the Lord marveled at this. And today, just for a couple of minutes, I want to explain to you the importance for you to give your all to the Lord, both boys and girls and mums and dads. There's a lesson here for you and me to grasp with both hands. Now, the Lord today doesn't so much want your money. He wants repentance. He wants your heart. He wants your love and your obedience. He wants your all. And today, I want to use a very simple object lesson to teach you one of the reasons why you ought to give your all to the Lord, like this dear lady. I believe this dear lady was a godly woman. I believe that this dear lady is in heaven today. I believe that she was saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Why do I believe that? Because the ungodly will never give their all to the Lord. Never do it. Never do it. But she did. And you need to do the same. You need to give your all to God. And so I thought to myself about the currency that we have and the money that we would have. And I thought about the smallest coin that we would have, and that's the 1p piece. Now, some of you like me can remember the 1/2p piece. And buying packets of crisps for 2.5p, that wasn't yesterday. It'll never happen again. But the 1p piece is what I want to use today. And I brought one with me here, and it's in this little baggie. How sad am I to put my 1p pieces in the little plastic baggie? Now, don't you discard these 1p pieces or throw them to the side. These are tremendous little coins. In fact, they've been on the go for over 50 years. They first were seen in society way back on the 15th of February, 1971. And Abernathy was only a teenager at that stage. Back on the 15th of February, 1971. That's a very important date, you know. That's the day after Valentine's Day. That's the day where most young men pretty much are penniless because they've been out buying jewelry and flowers and chocolates and meals. So that was a good day to bring out the penny because that's all they really had left. But these little coins are tremendous. And the reason why I have this one in a little bag is this is actually an original 1971 1p piece. You know the way your money has the year stamped on it? This is 1971. Now, I didn't have one of my own. I hooked in all the wee pockets and all the wee places where I stashed my pennies away. And the oldest I could get was 1978, so I decided to ring somebody who I could depend on. It was my father-in-law, and he had four of them. Four of them. And he kindly gave me this one here, and I've kept it because I wanted to bring it to let you see it today. Now, I did something with this. I Googled it, and to my amazement, couldn't believe this. This is worth anywhere between 10 and 150 quid, depending on its condition, and it's not in bad shape. I'll not be telling him. It's going in here now, and that's the end of it. He doesn't need to worry. He's got three of them already, so he's okay. But I want to use this little tiny coin today. It's a remarkable coin to look at the reason why you ought to give your all to God. Now, I have brought here with me a really large 1p piece. I've made it really large. Now, I know those folk at the back with the cheap seats, you're going to have to do better the next time, but hopefully you'll be able to see most of this, especially the boys and girls. And this is an old 1p piece. You'll see in the back, there's a picture of the Queen. You see that on the back there? Now, that side of the coin has changed 4 times in the last 50 years. Obviously, the Queen getting a little bit older from time to time. They put up something a little bit more appropriate. And there we have the Queen on the back. On this side here, you have a design, and this design has been on the 1p piece for 37 years, and then it changed in the last decade or so to something different. But as this design I want to look at today, It was thought up by a man by the name of Christopher Ironside. He came up with the concept of this design. I want to look at this design, this side of the coin, to show you today why you ought to give your all to God, like that little widow woman. We're going to look at some words all beginning with the letter C, and that'll help you to remember. Now look ever so closely at this coin, boys and girls, and you will notice that down here and down this side are two very long chains. Do you see those chains okay? Yeah, there they are. Somebody's given these poor children an awful chisel and they're afraid to open their mouths now. Do you see that there? We used to get a chisel in the car whenever we went visiting. Don't do this, don't do that, don't ask for more. Sit up straight. And I'll tell you what, it worked for a while. So, two long chains. And boys and girls, these two long chains remind me, first of all, today of what sin is like. You see, sin never gives you liberty. And it never gives you freedom. And you can't just do as you please whenever you begin to get entangled and caught up in sin of your own doing. And you know, the old devil is very, very a fly. He's very, very subtle. And in your early days, he will only ever put around you chains that are light and loose. But as you grow older, those chains will become more heavy and they'll become tighter and tighter. And you'll soon get entangled and entwined and you'll soon get caught up. And suddenly you may realize one day that you are a slave to sin. Slave to sin. I hope you realize that very early on in life. You can't break free from the language and the lies and the behavior and the temper and the jealousy and the thoughts. You're entrenched. You're entangled. You're caught up in the chains of sin. But I thank God today that when I read this precious book, I read of a Savior, the Lord Jesus, who has the power to break every chain and to set you free from your sin. And this is what I believe happened to this little lady. This little lady gave her all to God because he had broken those chains of sin in her life. And her desire, her chief desire, was to give God all that she had. Wonder about you today. Are you entangled? Are you free from your sin? Let's move on very quickly. You'll notice in the middle of this design, there's a square. There's a square thing in the middle of this design. It looks a bit like a potato waffle, making me hungry, but it's a square thing. Now, that's another word beginning with C. It's a closed gate. It's a closed gate. There it is there in the middle. And it has a very fancy name. It's called a portcullis. And boys and girls, this gate you will not find at the church car park. You'll not find a gate like this at the bottom of your garden or in your school grounds. You'll only ever see a gate like this up at the Reverend Abernathy's house. Because you only see these here at castles. That's big castles. And this is a very strong gate. Heavy gate. With bits of iron in it to keep it all tight. Because this gate, a closed gate to the enemy. When the king sees them coming, the gate comes down and the enemy is shut out. You know, boys and girls, mums and dads, whenever you sin against God, it's like having a barrier between you and God. You're being shut out from God. He is holy and you are not holy. He is righteous and you are unrighteous. In fact, God's word tells us that whenever we sin against him, very strong language is used. He calls us the enemy. I wonder, are you the enemy of God today? Is your life full of sin? Are those barriers up? There's no blessing coming through. But you know, the wonder of wonders is this. In a moment of time, as you would cry to God for forgiveness and mercy, that gate will be pulled up. And as the enemy, forgiven, you become the friend. And the Savior invites you into his banqueting house. And his banner over you is love. Let's move on very quickly. Another thing beginning with C to do with this coin is to do with its shape. It's not square. Sure, it's not. It's not rectangular. It is circular. That's right. Circular. I love circular things. love it in the morning whenever I get up and I see a lovely big yellow ball in the sky. That's the sun. Now, whenever I was small, it was great because you got out on your bike, you got out to play with your friends. Not so much when you get older. You get out to cut the grass and dig the weeds. That's what you get to do, and the sun comes out. I love whenever something circular is held to me this way. It's a big plate of dinner. Yes, and maybe a nice big bit of pavlova afterwards for your dessert. Lovely. Or pizza. I think of something else circular. I think of this wonderful world that we live in. And I think of that lovely verse in God's Word where it tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you and that's me, believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I believe this little woman knew that God gave his all for her and she has given her all to him. I wonder about you today. Do you give your all to the Lord? Do you live for him? Let's move on very quickly. Up here at the top of the design, you'll see a very special type of head covering. Do you see it there? It's a crown. It's a crown. Now, your school teacher doesn't wear a crown. And the minister doesn't wear a crown. And your mum and dad doesn't wear a crown, unless there's any royalty in. I haven't spotted yet. Who wears the crown?
The queen.
The queen. Or who else might wear the crown? The king. That's brilliant. All these other people didn't know that. They're just sitting there having a clue. That was really good. And I want to think particularly of the king and this crown, because that's one of the wonderful titles of our Savior, you know. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And all down through the centuries, the old devil tried to cut off that royal line, before the Savior came. And even when the Savior came, the old devil again tried to cut off that royal line when old wicked Herod put to death all those little boys in Bethlehem. But the Savior slipped away. And then whenever we come to the death of the Savior, you read your Bible very carefully, you will discover at the death of the Savior, at that place called Calvary, nothing else was mocked more than the kingship of the Savior. Read it for yourself. They put on that crown of thorns. Do you remember that, boys and girls? And the purple robe and the reed in his hand and the inscription behind him on the cross. And they bowed the knee and they mocked King of Kings. Here's your king. We'll not have this man to rule over us. Now today you might not be outwardly like that. But in the heart you're saying, we will not have this man to rule over us. He's not your king today. But can I tell you that the Bible tells us that one day every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that he's Lord of Lords, King of Kings. This little lady here that put in her all, she loved the King of Kings. What about you today? Let's move on very quickly. One little thing here at the top, you'll notice just above that little crown there, it's at the very top, it's the cross. You see the little tiny cross in the top there? Oh, some people make so little of the cross. It's small and insignificant. I wonder about you today. Do you think often of the cross? Do you thank God for sending his Son to the cross? Do you thank the Savior for dying for you? Have you given your all to him? This is what this little lady had done. This is what she had done. And today, boys and girls, as we come to our very last thought, and it's at the bottom here, it's this number one. We think of the Christ child. We think of the Messiah. Jesus Christ our Lord. I wonder how things are with you and him today. Is he number one in your life? You know, there's only one way to get to heaven. We sing the chorus, don't we? One way God says to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way. Lord Jesus said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I wonder today, as we've considered these thoughts, have you given your all to the Lord? Have you surrendered to him? Is he your Savior today? Will you meet this little woman in heaven one day? What a testimony she had. She gave her all to God, the God that gave his all for her. Boys and girls, you have sat ever so well, and I trust that these few thoughts will be a blessing to your heart. And I'm going to hand back over to your minister now to close the meeting, and there's some other items to be had as well. Thank you.